You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome to the revolution, friends. What is going on? We got another week here. Holy cow. This is just flying by. This is crazy. And we've got a really special episode today. We have two incredible guests. And so we're going to get right to it, which first off, if you missed some of our last episodes, they're all available online. Head to civicmedia.com, search the Rational Revolution. Last week, we talked to Congressman Mark Pocan. He's incredible. I said that was probably one of my favorite episodes that I recorded, because what an incredible, kind, just a genuine dude. And it was such an honor to talk to him, and I really hope we get to do it again. He talked about coming on the show and doing a Project 2025 whole episode. And so we are working on setting that up, and I hope to do that here before the election, because that is some information that does need to be shared. However, we have a very, very special guest here. For the first couple of segments here, we have the Harris Walls campaign manager for the state of Wisconsin, Mr. Garen Randolph. Dude, oh my gosh, hi.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for...
I'm a little worried because you said Mark was your favorite episode, so I don't know how I'm feeling about that.
Hey, we got time, man. We can turn this around. I'm sure you've met him. What a guy. Like, what an awesome, just a genuine, wonderful person.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we are lucky to have him represent Wisconsin, and I think that, you know, he's been a great friend of the state of Wisconsin and a great friend to our campaign. You know, he's been out working just as hard as anybody for the last, you know, year or so.
Really
everything Mark does.
He really has been. We kind of talked about how he's crisscrossing the state and just, you know, his travel schedule is nuts. So what a good representative of the possibilities that can happen under a Kamala Harris and Tim Walz administration. Which, speaking of.
Absolutely.
So, hot off the presses, I've got a statement here and I want to get you to react to it. You, I'm sure, have seen it, but, from Teamsters Joint Council 39, the Teamsters of Wisconsin, they represent over 15,000 workers across the state of Wisconsin. They have endorsed officially, Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, excuse me. And the statement reads, as vice president of the most pro-union administration ever, Kamala Harris worked with the Teamsters and other unions to pass the historic Butch Lewis Act, which has saved pensions of over 1 million retirees to date. As president, Kamala Harris will build on those efforts and work with Congress to pass the PRO Act, ending union some of the most egregious union busting tactics for once and for all. In contrast, Donald Trump tried to gut workers' rights as president by appointing union busters to the NLRB, advocating for national right to work, and Trump's 2025 project 2025 would go even further. They keep going on, but they said they are proud to endorse Harris Walls for president and vice president. What say you about that?
Yeah, look, Mark, we are honored to have their support. I think that it is important to have the local union support, right? Like, these are the workers, that the union that represents workers here in Wisconsin. And like you said, over 15,000 workers across the state, and they're on board for the campaign for the same reasons that we've been talking about. You know, there are two very clear visions for this country in this election. You know, one is the vision of Vice President Harris and Governor Walz that is working to, you know, lower costs for middle class families, working to protect our freedoms, working to make sure that our democracy remains intact. And that is a pretty clear contrast with the other side of this. You know, Donald Trump is pushing a dark backward vision for the future of this country. You know, that includes an agenda that gives him unprecedented, unchecked power to go after his political enemies. It gives him a chance to do the same thing he did when he was in office last time and give handouts out to corporations and his rich friends while leaving middle-class families behind. He's going to continue to attack healthcare. He's going to continue to attack reproductive rights. He's going to continue to undermine our democracy if the elections don't shake out in the way he wants it to. So I think that it's a real honor to have the Teamsters on board. We've seen unions, elected officials, organizations from across the state joining the campaign. I think that you're just going to continue to see more and more people joining the charge here, because there's a lot at stake this November, and all these groups know that.
Yeah, and it was they do point out as well in their press release that the Joint Council Executive Board they unanimously endorsed Kamala Harris. So I mean that's cool too. And I'm a child of a union. My dad was a mailman for how many years? So I mean I understand you know what's at stake here with unions as well. But so we got less than 50 days to the election. How is your stress level?
we're doing all right. We're excited. You know, I think that we're in the home stretch here. I keep telling people today's day 47. We've got 47 days to elect the 47th president of the United States.
There you go, yeah.
So I just told the team that this morning. The stress levels are just as high as they always are at the end of a campaign, but we're ready. You know, this is a team that is not new. We've been building this for a long time now. This is the same team that has had a lot of success over the last few years here in Wisconsin. This is the team that delivered the White House to Joe Biden in 2020, delivered the governor's mansion back to Tony Evers in 2022, flipped the Supreme Court last year. Like, we have been doing the work for a long time. This didn't just start with, Vice President Harris's campaign or with President Biden's campaign, frankly. A lot of these staff were here. These are the same people that know how to win Wisconsin. And we have the biggest infrastructure we've ever had. You know, there's almost 50 offices across the state. We've got staff. On the ground, the staff on the ground are mostly organizers talking to voters and not just talking to voters in Milwaukee and Madison. You know, we've got organizers in all counties that Donald Trump won. We've got offices in counties that Donald Trump won. We are leaving no stone unturned, and we're making sure that we're talking to folks about the stakes of the election. So while the stress levels are high, it's going to be a close election like it always is, but you know, we know what the stakes are. We've built the team to do it, and we're excited to finish this off and get the job done and beat him again just like we did 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was midweek last week. I was called by an organizer from Oconto County. That's where I live in that county. And like, it was a great conversation because I was like, hey, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're doing Lord's work up here, man, because this is not exactly like super blue. So, you know, I didn't realize that you had 50 offices. That's crazy.
And I do think it's important to point out, you know, that's a great example. We're not just talking to Democrats with our team. Yeah, you know, we are talking to independents. We're talking to Republicans. Like, there is a home in our campaign for Republicans that are over the craziness here. There's a home that for people that are tired of the chaos, for Republicans that aren't supportive of this radical 2025 agenda, Project 2025 agenda. You know, we are reaching out to everyone across the aisle, and we are building a coalition of folks that isn't just your normal Democratic base. You know, we are talking to voters in every corner of the state, regardless of what party they are and regardless of where they live.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the theme for today's show is reaching across the aisle and building that coalition. So I'm sure you know my background, but I was a chairman of the Brown County Republican Party. And, you know, in everything that I tried to do, it was like try to bring people into the tent. The Republican Party loves to gloss themselves as the big tent party, which now is absolutely not the case. But it's really, you know, falling onto the shoulders of the Democrats and trying to, you know, build their sphere of influence, open up the tent to people that are, like you say, disenfranchised. How is that going?
You know, I think it's going well. You saw in the debate last week, the vice president mentioned this, you know, like there's a lot of people that are over this. You know, there's a lot of people that are tired of the divisiveness that we've seen over the last 7, 8 years, whatever it is now, years of Donald Trump running for office. People are ready to move on and have, you know, stop thinking about this crazy and, you know, negative political rhetoric and start having real conversations about moving this country forward. And that's what our campaign has been about this entire time. We're not litigating past elections. We're not, you know, airing past grievances. Kamala Harris is a vision for the future of this country. And that is a vision for the future that, you know, is making sure the middle class families have a chance to not just get by, but get ahead. You know, it's making sure that people maintain the freedoms that they've had for years and that we're not taking this country backwards. And that message is resonating. You're seeing that with Republicans both in state and nationally. And I think you kind of hit it on the head where with the bigger tent here. I mean, when's the last time you had Republicans speaking at the Democratic National Convention?
Right.
Like we are making sure that we are bringing people in here and people are responding to that message. You saw a letter earlier this week with 100, you know, Republicans nationally supporting the Harris-Wallace ticket. You've got former Trump cabinet members that are coming out endorsing us. You've got, you know, former Republican elected officials like Liz Cheney coming out, you know, how often do you see those people endorse
Democrats? And her dad?
And Right. Like it's not. Yeah. This is not about Democrat versus Republican. Right. This is about right versus wrong.
Yes.
And I think I really do, like you included, like I do applaud the courage of Republicans from across the state and people, you know, current and former Republicans that are willing to step up and say, hey, this isn't right. You know, we have to turn the page here. And we are reaching out to those people actively. And I think the response has been great.
I think that, you know, and obviously we don't want to look ahead, but of course that's what, I mean, we do that, but like the Democratic Party has such an opportunity to open their tent and to expand, not just people who will vote for Kamala Harris, but people who will vote for, you know, Elizabeth Warren and people who will vote for Tammy Baldwin. And I mean, like Democrats all over the place. You know, Pete Buttigieg, all of them, up and down, wherever they are, they have such an opportunity to grow their party and grow their grassroots organization. As long as, you know, God willing, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz win, how do they keep this? How do they keep this momentum going and keep these people, you know, listening and engaged?
You know, I would say I've had this conversation with you before, and I would say that the Republican Party had an opportunity to move past Donald Trump.
Oh, God, they did. Yes.
And they did, right? And so I think you're exactly right. Like some these people that are completely disaffected by what's going on that side are, they're the people we're talking to. And I would say, you know, you mentioned a bunch of national Democrats, but I also think it's important to point out, like, we have huge opportunity in state right now.
Oh, yeah.
We have new maps for the first time in a very long time. And part of the infrastructure that I mentioned earlier is the same infrastructure that's working to elect Democrats to the state assembly, to the state senate across the state. And you're going to see the fruits of that pretty soon. I think that we have a real shot to make a dent in, you know, in the state legislature and have a state that looks very different. And having a state that looks different will make it, you know, a lot easier for Governor Evers and a lot easier for soon to be President Kamala Harris to help deliver for Wisconsinites. So I think that's important, too. So I do think that we have an opportunity here to talk to a whole new group of voters that are listening to us. And I think that it's an opportunity to bring folks into the tent, not just for this election, but for moving forward. You know, we are showing a different vision than the Republican Party is. And the Republican Party's vision that they're pushing this election is out of touch with what Wisconsinites want. That's just the case. You know, people are not into this Project 2025 agenda. It is radical. Right. Like people do not think the president should have unchecked power. You know, people think these are things that are basic tenets of our democracy. And I think that we have a real opportunity to, you know, reach these voters right now and have them moving forward.
We do, yeah.
And Representative, we're gonna do everything we can to do that.
Right, exactly. Representative democracy is a cool thing, and we're going to continue this discussion here on the other side with Wisconsin campaign manager for Harris for President, Garen Randolph. Welcome back to the show. Oh, my goodness. So we're continuing our discussion with the man himself, the dude in charge of the Wisconsin Harris for President campaign, Mr. Garen Randolph. I wanted to, so back in 2016, what were you up to?
2016, I was doing a local race and still doing campaigns here in Wisconsin. So I remember 2016 oh too well.
So I'm not a pessimist. I swear to God, I'm not. Some people that listen to my show would, so, you know, with all of my doom and gloom, I talk about how much the Republicans suck. Like they might think I am that, but I am ever the optimist. However, I remember 2016 like it was yesterday, and I remember how every single poll that came out, like Real Clear Politics, which is like an average of all the polls that come out, had Hillary Clinton her lead over 6%. Like it was well outside the margin of error, to the point where she kind of like pulled some of her events and stuff from Wisconsin. And then we all know what happened. And I'm so nervous about that because we have 538, which is, you know, all the other polls and everything. Harris is up by 1.6, which is awesome. That's great. But holy crap, that is within the margin of error. What are we doing, man? Like how do we not have a repeat?
No, I hear you. And I would point to, yes, that did happen in 2016, but I also point to, you know, in 2020, the average polling lead for Joe Biden was like 8 points. And we won by 20,000 votes.
Yeah.
Because, Mike, we didn't take our foot off the gas. And that's exactly what we're doing this time around. So I hear your concern. I think you're right to be asking this question, but like this is, you know, this campaign is going to run through Election Day.
Right on.
We will have the candidates here, as you saw. We have the vice president here tomorrow.
Yes.
We had Governor Walz in Wausau last week. We don't, you know, you don't see a presidential candidate show up in Wausau that often, right? Like we are in every corner of the state, and we are making sure that that doesn't happen. You know, we are not reading these polls. I don't like whatever the polling average says. Great, this race is tied. This is still Wisconsin, and it's going to look like it has in the past. We are going to need every single vote, and we're going to talk to every single voter. And I do fully expect Election Day to be extremely close.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that we keep, you know, the message we keep drilling into our voters and to our supporters is, you know, this thing is not over.
Yeah.
Donald Trump can win. We have to beat him. You know, this is not something that's going to be handed to us. It is our job over the next 47 days to make sure that we knock on every door, to make sure that we make every phone call, to make sure that we talk to our friends and family, show up at events, whatever it takes. Because if we don't put in that work for the next 47 days, November's going to feel a lot more like 16 than it did 20. Yeah. And we can't let that happen.
No, we can't.
You know, we are committed to finishing this off.
I want to talk about, you know, what the campaign I don't know how to even say this, but like, you know, the buzzword is weird, right? And you know, everything from candidates not pronouncing Kamala Harris's name correctly to something that Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that was actually really, really disgusting. And if you don't know what she said, listeners out there, what she made mention to is she said that she has children at home that make her humble, and Vice President Harris doesn't have anything that keeps her humble. And like, what a disgusting, insulting thing. But it's not uncommon. I mean, this is time and time and time again. Like, in the immortal words of Vince Lombardi, what the hell is going on out there? You know?
So I think there's a couple pieces to this. First of all, what you are seeing from all of these surrogates like Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Laura Loomer and all these people that are coming out is an actual reflection of Donald Trump.
Yes.
This is Donald Trump. Just because his campaign has been able to rehearse him and occasionally keep him on message, this is how he thinks. But it also is a distraction from the campaign that they're running. You know, they don't have a plan to move this country forward.
Right.
This campaign is about grievances of the past. It's about Trump getting revenge for an election he lost 4 years ago.
Staying out of prison.
I didn't even want to go there, but I'll give you that one.
I'll go there.
But this, you know, our campaign is looking for. We're talking about lowering costs for voters. We're talking about not lowering taxes for the middle class and making sure millionaires pay their fair share. We're talking about lowering health care costs. We're talking about increasing public safety. Our campaign is talking about the things that voters are interested in hearing, and Trump's campaign is not. And they see this, as you said, you know, weird, crazy stuff because they don't have a plan to move this country forward.
Yeah.
So voters are looking for an answer to what's next, and he doesn't have that. So you continue to see this stuff to distract from that. But I think it is important that, you know, as some of this stuff does seem, you know, crazy and out of left field, like we have to listen to what they're saying because yeah. Donald Trump's agenda for another 4 years is crazy and radical and out in left field. You know, Donald Trump left our country in chaos last time he was president.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a plan then. He has a plan now. You know, he has a plan to, you know, do tax cuts again to give handouts to his rich friends. He has a plan to restrict reproductive freedoms. He has a plan to undermine democracy. He has a plan to let him do whatever he wants without any consequences. And that stuff is scary.
It is
so
scary.
I think that making sure that voters see that and they don't get too caught up in, you know, some of this wild rhetoric, because there are real things at stake here. And, you know, I think that Trump's campaign is doing everything they can to distract people.
They are, and I think, you know, there is the doom and gloom, but I also think that there is such optimism and such positivity coming from Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You can see it in the places they go. You can see it in the faces of people who they meet. And it's not an anger or a bitterness or, you know, this is something that we need to get revenge for. It's just unadulterated hope and love for the country. Like it's so cool. It's so refreshing. We've got 30 seconds. I do want you to comment on that part of that.
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing amazing excitement across the state since she became a candidate. I mean, we had almost 20,000 people in Milwaukee. We had 16,000 people show up for a rally in Eau Claire. We haven't done anything like that. I mean, the excitement that we're seeing from both attendees, from the hundreds of thousands of volunteers that have signed up to help out the campaign is great. You know, Wisconsinites are ready to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and turn the page and move this country forward. And I think that, you know, seeing them and having them continue to talk about, you know, hope and joy and moving the country forward is exactly what's fueling this.
Yeah, it is awesome, and I'm so glad that you spent some time out of your freaking crazy schedule with us. And you know, if you're free, you're a friend of the show, come on. I'd love to do a different campaign update as things get further on here.
Absolutely, I'll be back.
Garen Randolph, thank you so much.
Thank you for all you're doing.
Keep up the work, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you later. And we'll be right back on the Rational Revolution after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We're going to do a quick pivot from what we just talked about. I'll have thoughts on that here in the next segment, but a quick pivot here is because we've got a pretty famous dude. He is a former Illinois Congressman, Joe Walsh. If you don't know the guy, you know what he said once, and he's the dude that famously said, "If Trump loses, get your muskets." But he's not here for that. He's here for the right reason. How did you go from "If Trump loses, get your muskets" to literally on the campaign trail for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz?
Trump happened, Mark.
I should say first, welcome to the revolution, my friend.
Mark, it's great to be with you. Look, when Trump ran in 16, I did support him, and I was on the radio like you, but I was on the radio all over the country.
Yes.
But I honestly didn't pay that much attention to him until after he got elected. And then after he got elected, pretty much every day for the next year and a half, he went south on me, and I finally then came out against him because I consider him to be a threat to our democracy. And no surprise, Mark, when I said that, I lost my conservative radio show.
Weird. There was a guy locally here in Green Bay that did the same thing, and he was a never Trumper and a friend of Charlie Sykes, who's also a friend of the show. You know, and I have to ask, because Charlie Sykes, he was patient zero. He was the first guest on the show. And we talked.
Wow.
He's awesome. He's a really wonderful person.
Yeah.
I told him that, you know, he's been the super high integrity guy that I've known and that the state has known for 30 years. But he pushed back on that. And he said, you know, he's had some really seismic changes in his beliefs over the last, you know, 6 years. And his eyes have been really opened. Would you feel the same?
No, it's interesting, and all the respect in the world. I love Charlie Sykes.
He's a great guy.
Great, great guy. Solid, solid, solid. I'm still, the way I explain it, Mark, was I went to Washington 2010, kind of like Trump did. I was sick of both parties. I'm sick of our political system. I went there because we're bankrupt in future generations. Yeah. I wanted to burn the place down. I was part of that Tea Party wave, but I was a divisive Tea Party asshole. I went there and declared war on everybody. I'm still kind of a libertarian Tea Party guy. I'm just not a jerk or an ass anymore.
That's cool.
And that movement, but I've publicly apologized, Mark, because the Tea Party movement, we helped lead to Trump. No doubt about it. People like me helped lead to the ugly thing that is Trump. So I'm spending the rest of my life trying to make up for that.
No, and that's really cool because, you know, there's a lot of solace and peace knowing that you're on the right side of history. And I, you know, it's definitely not always an easy or fun thing to say what we say behind a microphone, but I think, you can look at yourself in the mirror pretty well.
Well, so, and Mark, you know, because you and I mean, you and I are both political animals. look, to be a Republican and to stand in the public square and say, I oppose Trump in what he is, you pretty much end your career as a Republican. Yeah. I knew when I came out against Trump 6 years ago, I could never get elected again as a Republican. My colleague, Adam Kinzinger, when he came out a few years ago, he knew he was done. And as, but what's interesting is, as I've been traveling the battleground states as part of Republicans for Harris, man, the courage I'm seeing among, and you know this, among local Republicans who have the courage to stand in their community and say, I'm with Harris, man, that takes a lot of courage. They need to be commended.
Yeah, and I live in a small town in rural Wisconsin here, so that's
hello,
it's a good time, man. So what made you change? Like, what was the moment that not only you changed from, okay, well, I'm opposed to Trump, but now I can get on board with Kamala Harris?
I turned on Trump 6 years ago, and again, it grew right after he got elected. The final straw was Helsinki, where he stood in front of the world and said, I'm with Putin and not my own people. I went on the radio that night, Mark, around the country, and I said, I'm going to do everything in my power to defeat him. And, well, yeah, then I lost my radio show. But look, I believe in my bones. And damn near every Republican for Harris I've engaged with believes as well that he is a threat to our democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, plain and simple, that's where it begins and ends with me. He tried to overthrow an American election. He's the only president in American history who lost an election and refused to concede. And if you believe he's a threat to our democracy, well, then he's dangerous. And then he can never, ever be in office again. And then we are obligated to support the only person who can beat him. And look, Mark, if it was still Joe Biden, I'd be Republicans for Biden. If Biden were 150 years old, mm-hmm. I'd be Republicans for Biden. It doesn't matter to me because Trump needs to lose. Now, the cool thing is Kamala Harris is somebody who is really easy for even a Tea Party guy like me to get excited about.
And what responsibility so let's say in 4 months, 5 months, you know, Democrats are, you know, getting ready to move on. Republicans are hopefully, you know, burning their Trump things in effigy. What responsibility does, you know, Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party have to build bridges and move forward and try to continue this coalition that they've got?
Yeah. Mark, that's a superb question, and she's already doing it. Look, in everything she's been saying, it's all been her looking in the camera saying, I want to be president for all Americans. She's been the antithesis of Trump. She's been inclusive. I went to that Democratic National Convention, first ever Democratic convention I've ever been at, Mark.
Right, yeah.
It was weird in a cool way, though.
Yeah.
In a cool way. But when I listened to her deliver that speech, I heard elements of Reagan. I heard someone, Kamala Harris, who loves this country and will defend this country and believes this country is good. Man, that's great stuff. And that's the opposite of the America sucks, blame America stuff that Trump pushes. I think Kamala Harris also, Mark, has done a really good job of kind of moving to the middle, where most Americans are, common sense, let's get some practical stuff done. I think that's where she's going to be. And I think if she governs like that, there is a big, big Democratic coalition here to be had.
And yeah, I totally agree. As we're talking with former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, so if we're continuing along those 4 months and the GOP is burning the Trump things in effigy, what happens to them?
You and I probably disagree on this. I don't believe they'll be burning their Trump.
No, they probably won't. I totally agree with you. I don't think they will either.
And again, here's the deal. And I have these conversations with undecided Republicans in the battleground states. There's going to be an election in 50 days.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the only thing, Mark, we know. If Kamala Harris loses, Kamala Harris will concede. She'll accept the result.
Yeah.
She'll congratulate the winner, and she'll participate in the peaceful transfer of power. Mm-hmm. Trump will do none of that.
Right.
I mean, none of that. But it doesn't matter, because Trump won't accept the result if it's close or if it's a landslide. And I know, because I still engage with his hardest core supporters, they won't accept the result, period. So this is going to be a real problem, because it's still his party, and I think it's going to stay his party. But I think the Republican Party is shrinking nationally.
Yeah.
It's becoming a strong rural, kind of a local rural party, but it's shrinking nationally. And a lot of people, even like myself, conservative Joe Walsh, you know, could be part of a bigger, better Democratic Party coalition.
So you do consider yourself a conservative still?
I consider myself to still be a proud Tea Party conservative it's funny, Mark. I got in an argument with Pierce Morgan the other day.
Yes, he said that
demented, deranged people like me and Liz Cheney, we've abandoned our principles. And I said, hello, my principles are democracy, the rule of law, and the Constitution. I'm defending those principles. Yeah. Kamala Harris believes in those principles. So, yes, I still consider myself a Tea Party conservative.
Yeah, and you know, I've had conversations with people that, you know, Democrats about this too, that there is a conservative argument for marriage equality. There is a conservative argument for giving women autonomy over their bodies. There is a conservative argument for healthcare reform and border. You know, like, so thing, it's just a different way to look at it. So do you think that the Democratic Party will be the new big tent?
I think they have an opportunity to, because and coming from MAGA, I come from MAGA. MAGA is shrinking.
Yes.
You know, these folks are my folks, and you know these folks. We're primarily talking about middle-aged and older white folk. And this MAGA philosophy is not tolerant, the opposite of everything you just said. It's not inclusive. It's build a wall around America and keep people out.
Yeah.
Most Americans don't support that. Most people of color don't support that. Most young Americans don't support that. So MAGA's going to shrink. So the Democrats have a great opportunity, and I think Kamala Harris is giving voice to this, to embrace, you know, from kind of center right folk like me, to progressives on the left. And I think she's got a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this show is called The Rational Revolution, because we kind of live in that middle sphere. And I think, like you said, the Democrats have quite an opportunity to have the most diverse and open coalition that we've seen in decades. So what are you doing to help defeat Donald Trump? I want to hear all about that as well.
Well, and just to put a button on what you just said, yes, I'm hoping the Democrats expand. And I do
too.
And who knows what's going to happen after this election. And will there be a third party? There's talk about a new center-right party, all of this stuff. Stop.
Yeah.
Job one is to make sure that Trump loses, because none of this happens if he wins. So she has to win. And that's why I'm devoting every ounce of every minute of every day that I've got to help her. We launched this Republicans for Harris group about a month ago. We had a national Zoom call. Me and Adam Kinzinger and others were on the call. We had like 80, 90,000 Republicans from all over the country on the call.
Yep.
It's only grown since then. So I am going into battleground states every week. Was in Arizona last week. And I get with these local Republicans. And, well, you know, it's hard for Republicans to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I am still a Republican, and I'm voting for her. I'm putting my country first. So I'm helping to rally Republicans to do that, and to help sort of give them the tools so as they go out and proselytize with their neighbors, these are some of the messages that will help.
Do you think that we have the a coalition big enough to make a difference like that?
Hell yes. think about it, Mark. I mean, again, I'm exaggerating. This election's going to be decided by 72 people in four states.
Yeah, right.
I exaggerate a little bit, you know, right? We're talking about 3 to 4 to 5 states that will decide this election, and maybe a few thousand people in each of those states.
Yeah.
My word, if we Republicans for Harris can move just a few thousand Republicans in each of these states, that can make a really profound difference. And I'll also say this, Mark. I've been amazed, New Hampshire, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, everywhere I've been so far, I've had a lot of Republicans come up to me and say, Joe, I'm going to vote for her, but
no
I
kidding.
Can't say that publicly.
So
I think they're, and look, if they say it publicly, man, we embrace them.
Yes.
If they say that to me and say they can't say it publicly, I embrace them.
Yeah.
I think there's a movement here that the pollsters aren't getting. There's real excitement among center-right people for her.
Yeah, and that's that is something that is really encouraging. And former Congressman Joe Walsh, I really appreciate your time here. I appreciate what you're doing because I know what it's like, and it is not easy. So let's connect again before the election. And
hey, Mark.
Yes.
Mark, I'm a tequila drinker. When I come to Northern Wisconsin, we're gonna do God's work, and we're gonna proselytize.
I got some Clase Azul for you, buddy.
Done.
Yes.
I'm yours. I'll
All right,
see
brother.
You
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
Thanks,
we'll see
Mark.
You back on the Russian Revolution.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train. When I was feeling near as faded as my jeans.
Good call with the song, Mr. Conrad. Spinning the tunes back behind the glass. That's a nod to Chris Alfheim, who's fighting the good fight out there, running for state senate. So if you see her on the campaign trail, give her a big hug, because we do adore her and we think about her often. So. What a show. We had Wisconsin campaign manager for Harris for president, Garen Randolph, and former Congressman Joe Walsh. Well, I hope you enjoyed both of those discussions. That was a real treat. And I think to kind of harken back a little bit, you know, I was planning what I was going to say in my, as Todd the God, our other producer, says, Mark's Musing segment, which maybe that's what we'll call it. I don't know. But the theme of the show today was kind of getting out and reaching, you know, beyond the party. And I have some conversations with my brother, dear friend of the show, John Becker. And, you know, he kind of sometimes gets on me a little bit for trying to, and I don't know what word to use other than like evangelize, right? I try to reach people and evangelize and tell the good word. I grew up Catholic, so whatever. Try to get people to, you know, understand and just reach them and touch them and try to, you know, have them open to a different way of thinking. Because as we said with Joe Walsh, there are conservative arguments for the things that the Democrats are fighting for. There are conservative arguments for pillars that are in Kamala Harris's platform. And so we have to reach out to different people other than the people that we talk to inside our circle. And so it's so cool to see what the Harris campaign is doing, reaching to people, you know, like myself, I guess, or you. But I think one of the overarching themes too is we touched on that with Garen Randolph, is the word weird. And I want to talk about that a little bit, or maybe a lot, I don't know. But it's, you know, J.D. Vance is seemingly like embracing this moniker. You know, it's weird. He's making jokes about it and all that. But it's not funny. Like, it's not funny to do what they're doing. It's not funny. And as Garen Randolph said, what they're doing is they are just mirroring the leader of their party. And like they're taking a brush and they're trying to paint their opponents with it. But the problem is the paint that they're using is splattered all over their own chest. And so they're trying to make their opponents exactly what they are. And from everything from continually mispronouncing Vice President Harris's name, you know damn well how to pronounce her name. You're not stupid. Well, maybe sans like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, those that like they're not dumb people. They are smart. They're doing these things with intent. They're doing these things with purpose. And it's not funny when people out there are making this movement their identity. I go pick up my kids from school every day. And there's two big old trucks that drive up with Let's Go Brandon on the back of their window. Like, that's not funny. I mean, it is kind of funny now because it's like, you know, good old boy Brandon's not the nominee. So, you know, you're super cool. But the problem is when that movement is so centered around hate and divisiveness and these little jabs just meant to bully and insult. When hate becomes who you are, it like really, really awful things happen. And I hate to sound doom and gloom and all of that, but that's like, that's where we are. And you have one side who, yes, they have Project 2025, which is disgusting. And I really hope we get that thing with Mark Pocan on here because that would be, we need to talk about that. But when you have, when you boil everything down to the lowest common denominator, because that's what I try to do about every issue. I try to take myself and my biases and everything that I believe, I try to take it out. And what we're left with in this election is truly a choice between goodness and decency and positivity and not. We have on one side someone who is convicted of 37 felonies, is on trial for dozens more, and and that same person tried to overturn the will of the American people. He tried to overthrow democracy. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. So like, no matter what my political opinions are, you know, people say, oh, are you better off 4 years ago than you were today? But like, it doesn't, to a point, that doesn't matter to me as much as the fact that we have a guy who is a felon who tried to overthrow our government, running to rule the government. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. And so I like Joe Walsh said, he thinks that the party will realign itself after this is all done. God willing, he loses. I'm nervous that they're not going to realign. They're just going to rebrand. And it's up to you to make sure that it doesn't happen. Contact those 50 offices that are in Wisconsin. Get on the phone. Knock on some doors. Get out there and join that fight. Thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. I'm Mark Becker from the Rational Revolution. We'll see you next week. Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy love when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.